Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. This offer expires Sunday, March 24th. To order yours today, go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code HOWIEBOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware there on a train or by car.
The train leaves the station at 8 Monday morning. Therefore, as long as we get the DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour before we hit the edge of the ravine, we'll instantaneously arrive at a point in time where the bridge is completed.
What about the locomotive?
It'll be a spectacular wreck.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
First light this morning when you saw the pictures of actually what that bridge looks like with the barge slammed into it there. What were your initial thoughts?
Well, it was something out of an action movie. It's something you never think you would see, and there's no one should have to endure. And I'm going to be the first to ask that CNN and everyone else stop showing the video.
Yeah, don't show that.
Fair enough.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
As you know, the Karen Reed murder trial has been scheduled to begin next month. It's a long, convoluted case. It was from 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago. It began with the death of Boston police officer John O'Keefe. He was found dead in a snowstorm outside of Boston, another Boston police officer's house in Canton, Massachusetts. His girlfriend is charged with second-degree murder, manslaughter, drunk driving, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a long, involved case. And the defense attorneys for Karen Reed have suggested that that she did not hit him with her car, and that he was actually killed inside the house of his fellow police officer. And the case is just so screwed up. Now there's a federal grand jury that has been investigating the police and district attorney's investigation. And so today was the final, I guess, pre-trial hearing. And the defense, Karen Reed's attorneys, she's a 44-year-old woman, had asked that the case, the charges be dismissed because of just the terrible mishandling and all the questions that have already been raised, reasonable doubt to a max. And the judge denied the defense motion to dismiss the murder case against Karen Reed. And we wanted to talk to Aidan Kearney, also known as Turtle Boy. He's been covering this. He actually did 2 months in jail earlier this year for so-called witness intimidation in involving the case. And just wanted to check to see where he thinks this stands now. Turtle Boy, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks for having me, Howie.
So what do you it looks like the trial is going to go forward now, starting next month.
Yeah, I mean, barring somebody getting arrested, it definitely look at we're going to get a show.
Well, who I mean, are you talking about a federal intervention here, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, unless, like, you know, one of these cops is arrested or somebody's arrested for the murder, you know, which, I mean, who knows, then it's going to trial. We're going to trial April 16th, and it's going to be must-see TV. It's going to be fantastic theater. I think the fact that it's happening is a shame. But, you know, the selfish part of me is, like, this is going to be great, amazing to watch. It's going to help my case immensely because all these bozos are going to have to get on the stand. These so-called witnesses that I'm being charged with intimidating are going to get on the stand, and Alan Jackson and David Unetti are going to do, you know, us a solid, basically, by grilling these people and exposing them for the liars that they are. And I can't wait to see that happen.
I want to read you a sentence. I keep reading it over and over again from Auntie Bev, the judge, Canone, Judge Beverly Canone. And it's a crazy sentence. See if you can interpret it for me. I'm going to read it verbatim. Because the Commonwealth could not have withheld information it did not have and was not aware existed at the time of the state grand jury, the defendant has not established that the Commonwealth withheld exculpatory evidence from the grand jury for the purpose of obtaining the indictment.
So I don't know what that's in regard to. I don't know if that's in regard to the Proctor thing. Are they, like, playing dumb about that?
Haven't you said that three of the cops, a federal cop, a state cop, Proctor, the federal cop would be Higgins, and then the local cop, one of the local cops in Canton, have all admitted that they misled the state grand jury, correct?
Yeah, they've all lied, unless you believe.
And they said this under oath to a federal grand jury.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, Proctor has literally admitted that he lied to the state grand jury. The others have basically got caught in lies about calling each other, and then they had this crazy story about one of them was having sex with his wife, and he butt-dialed during sex and then answered the phone during sex with a butt-dial. Like, it was a crazy story that nobody actually believes. So, yeah, these people have lied all the time. You know, my favorite, I've briefly read her motion, you know, her denial of the motion to dismiss. And one of the things I saw in there was that this Google search at 227 that Jennifer McCabe did, yeah, for how long to die in cold. She basically says it happened in there. Like, she believes that it happened, the experts say it happened, et cetera. But Jennifer McCabe had handed over her phone to the state police, and their excuse for not finding that, for not finding this deleted Google search, was that they didn't have the updated software. Which is just a lie, by the way. Of course, in 2022, you can find deleted text messages. The state police want us to believe that, like, you can just delete text messages and they're gone forever. And oops, we don't know how to find that. We don't have the technology to do it. It's a lie. It's absolutely a lie. If they wanted to convict somebody, a bad guy, of doing it, they would use it. But they're trying to protect her. That's why they couldn't, quote unquote, find the Google search.
Well, the Inspector General for the Justice Department found all the text messages that the FBI tried to delete between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. That was in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, give me a break. They really want us to believe this? Like, oh, oopsie, we missed all the 25 phone calls Jennifer McCabe made between 5 and 9 that were extremely suspicious, and we missed this Google search that she deleted at 227, which is extremely suspicious. We just missed all that. That's what they want you to believe. And had Karen Reed's expert not taken a second look at it and found, oh, wait, she deleted the search at 227, we wouldn't know. And I would, that is the piece of evidence that got me interested in the story. And here we are today. And by the way, they're trying to keep us from protesting outside the courthouse. Did you see this?
I saw that within 500 feet. That's almost two football fields.
That's all the way to the center of Dedham. Like, if you look at the radius, I mean, it's outrageous. And if that's, I don't know what we're going to, I mean, it seems unconstitutional. ACLU, where are you on this one? I mean, they're literally telling you, you can't bring your dog there.
I love the thing that they're concerned, they're concerned about dogs wearing little sweaters that say Free Karen Reed. I mean, I've never read anything like this in a court filing.
It's like, that courthouse has a back door. If you're worried about jurors being influenced, just have them go through the back door. They'll be fine. No, we're not trying to change anyone's opinion about anything. We're just exercising our First Amendment rights on those courthouse stairs, as we've been doing for months. But now, all of a sudden, you know, they feel emboldened. They're trying to use this anti-picketing statute. I still can't believe picketing is illegal in the state of Massachusetts. But picketing statute to prevent people from exercising their First Amendment rights on public property about government misconduct and government corruption. It's outrageous.
Let me read you another part here that, you know, I can't believe that she's not troubled by this, the judge. In a footnote, she said that documents from the federal investigation, so again, these are not documents that are in dispute, reveal several examples of Trooper Proctor's unprofessional and questionable conduct, but they do not shed much light on the extent of his relationship with the witnesses and what impact, if any, the relationships had on the investigation. At this time, no specific evidence cited by the defendant warrants dismissal. But he misled the grand jury. Isn't that enough?
He lied about his relationship with them. What is she saying there? That, you know, oh, yeah, sure. So he lied about his relationship, and he's actually really close with him. But we don't have any actual proof.
She said it's unprofessional and questionable conduct. But it's no big deal.
That's not good.
He's under oath when he's doing this unprofessional and questionable conduct. But it's not a big deal. And he's a cop.
Now we know that she's going to give the defense a big leash there to just tear this guy apart on the stand. Another one who, by the way, I'm being charged with intimidating, right? And so he's going to have to explain all of this. He's going to have to explain why he lied in his report initially and said that Karen Reed's car was towed from her parents' house in Dighton at 5:30, when there's evidence in the Dighton police report that the car was towed at 4:15, which gave him plenty of time to get back to Canton and have the taillight planted at the scene. He's going to have to explain that. He's going to have to explain why he misspelled the name of five people who were inside that house in one police report. In one paragraph, he misspelled the names of five people. He misspelled the name Sarah. How do you get that one wrong? He did this intentionally to try to hide these people. He never interviewed Colin Albert, who was inside the house when John O'Keefe arrived. Colin Albert was never spoken to by police until about 18 months after John O'Keefe was murdered.
This is the kid.
And his mother, Jill, offered a he's 19 now, and Jill, his mother Julie, offered Proctor a gift on the day that Karen Reed was arrested as a quote unquote thank you, because her son was never questioned despite being inside the house that night.
Right. Well, that's the questionable. I would say that's a part of the unprofessional and questionable conduct. But they're still going to put, even though the judge has admitted that there's evidence from a federal grand jury that this guy engaged in this egregiously bad, if not illegal, behavior, they're still going to put him. He's the main witness, is he not, for the prosecution?
I can't wait. I would say he's the main for the prosecution. He has to be. He's the lead detective. You know, and he's going to be the worst witness for the prosecution. I mean, the defense is going to destroy him. I mean, Jennifer McCabe is so arrogant. She's going to be the worst witness. I can't wait until these people get up on the stand. Colin Albert's going to have to get up on the stand. They all are. They're going. I mean, you want theater, Howard? You are about to see the trial of the century in Dedham, and it's going to be must-see theater TV.
I know Beverly Cannone, the anti-Bev, is a second-generation hack, basically. But I don't think she's doing any favors for her fellow hacks in the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office and the state police by letting this thing go forward, is she?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I didn't think Morrissey would actually, you know, want to go. I didn't think they actually wanted this to go. They're going to put these people on the stand. What are they thinking? I mean, I'll take it. I think it's an injustice that's happening. But, you know, the journalist in me is can't wait to see this. And, you know, I Auntie Bev, you watch her, and it's like I've never seen somebody more at this, like, that doesn't want, seems like she doesn't want to be there. Like, the heavy breathing, the whispering. It's like, but I think she wants to be on TV because she's always getting her hair done right before court. I think she likes it. I think she's going to like being like, because she knows this case is going to get a lot of attention. So I think she's liking that aspect of it.
She said she was expecting a motion today from the defense, you know, to just basically tear the prosecution apart. Why did they not produce that motion?
Well, according to David Gennady's sister Tanis today, she said that it's for strategic purposes. And my belief, what I infer from that, is that they knew that this motion was going to be denied to dismiss, and they don't want to show their hand anymore. Every time they show their hand, like they probably had some bombshells, you know, to unleash today, but I think they're going to wait the trial to do that instead, because every time they unleash a bombshell, it just gives the prosecution a chance to make up a lie about that bombshell. They dropped the Google search, the 227 Google search, and that just gave the prosecution a chance to explain how that's a lie. This has been a theme that's been repeating itself. So with this one, I bet you they just don't want to show their hand, and they're ready to go for trial.
You think they'll be able to introduce evidence that that this guy Proctor is under investigation by the Internal Affairs Unit of the Mass State Police?
I would assume so. I don't know how that wouldn't be relevant to this whole thing you're under, particularly for your handling.
You're in a murder trial. you're in a murder trial, I would say it would be pretty relevant.
Has that ever happened? I mean, has that ever happened where the lead detective in a murder trial is under internal affairs investigation and has to take the stand? That's wild.
And he's had to testify before a federal grand jury.
Yeah, that's looking into him. That's looking into his outfit, the place that he works, his associates, and him in particular. They're looking into him. And he's going to have to take the stand? It's going to be a nightmare, an absolute nightmare.
All right, Turtle Boy, where can people go to help out your legal defense fund and to follow you and on social media and on your blog?
So check out tbdailynews.com. We have the Give, Send, Go linked at the top of that. Or you can go on Twitter. I am at Dr. Turtleboy. That's D-O-C-T-O-R Turtleboy. I got the link pinned to that as well. And, we have all on our YouTube channel, Turtleboy Live, Facebook, you name it, we're everywhere.
What's the dog's name who's wearing the free Karen Reed sweater?
I think the dog's named Nathan, I believe. The dog's a regular at all the protests. Yeah.
That cracks me up. It's worth going to TB Daily News just to see the picture of Nathan on this. He's banned, though. Nathan will be seen about the next time Chloe is seen. All right, Turtle Boy. Thanks. Thanks for being with us. That's Aidan Carney, Turtle Boy. Check him out at TB Daily News and all of his other venues. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this. Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Met, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com, localsilvermint.com. Still no official word on the fate of Ronna McDaniel. So we're going to leave the poll question up. Taylor, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarrShow.com, is will Ronna Romney McDaniel be fired by MSNBC? Yes, no, or she'll stay on the payroll but will never appear on air.
She'll stay on the payroll but will never appear on air.
38% say she'll stay on the payroll. 50% say she'll be fired. 12% say she will not be fired.
All right. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Howie, just a couple quick things. Number one, the caller before the Turtle Boy interview who said Joe Biden stutters, all you have to do is go back to like 2005, 2007. Joe Biden was a fast talker. He could properly enunciate his words. He wouldn't stumble through a paragraph, okay? That guy is in total denial, and what he had to do is all of a sudden do the whataboutism and then starts in on Trump. I have never heard Donald Trump stumbling through a paragraph, all right? Second, that was a fantastic interview with Turtle Boy. I hope he proves to be vindicated, and if he does, this is where he should be getting a Pulitzer for actually doing journalistic research, you know?
He's not going to get the Pulitzer, Tom. They don't give Pulitzers anymore for real journalism. They give it for towing the party line right down the line in all categories, even probably spot photography. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
NBC News leadership has announced that former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. We have a new email and update that's come out just within this hour. So this is sort of breaking news here within our organization on a story that has garnered significant attention and criticism. And what I'm going to do now, to be very clear, is read the entire update from NBC Universal News Group Chairman Cesar Conde. He has written in this new email, quote, "There's no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news group. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. He goes on to write that no organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Over the last few days, it has become clear that disappointment undermines that goal. The news chairman continues to say, quote, I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. While this was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, I approved it and take full responsibility for it, says Cesar Conde, the chairman. He explains, quote, our initial decision was made because of our deep commitment to presenting our audiences with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences, right, particularly during these consequential times. And then, in closing, this message, which, again, is brand new. We're airing it for the first time here on MSNBC, having come out this hour. Quote, we continue to be committed to the principle that we must have diverse viewpoints on our programs. Right. And to that end, we will redouble our efforts to seek voices that represent different parts of the political spectrum, end quote. If you watch MSNBC.
Blah, blah, blah. So, but she will not be an NBC News contributor, but they don't say she's been fired or you know, she hasn't. They can't terminate her contract because there is no just cause or anything like that. They've just decided they don't like her. So I think we'll just leave the poll question up. But, someone says this is like Megyn Kelly. Didn't NBC do the same thing with Megyn Kelly? They didn't like when she made that reference to blackface, and they fired her, but I think they still had to keep paying her tens of millions of dollars. I don't think they have to pay Ronna McDaniel tens of millions, but she'll continue to be paid, I think, and there's no question. Again, after listening to the legitimate, well, that's a lie, they're not legitimate concerns of many of you, I've decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. Yeah, so she won't be a contributor, but I think she'll still get paid. 844-500-4242. Erica, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Erica.
Hey, Howie. What's up? How are you?
Good.
My name's Erica. I'm a longtime Toronto rider. I think Aiden's a great guy. I think he's great at what he does. And I think he's going to be vindicated as well. I had a question for you. You know, obviously, there's a lot of theories out there. This, personally, I don't think is one of them. I'm not sure if you've touched on it yet, but you may have heard, like, the whole Brian Albert thing being associated with Whitey. I know you've done a lot of, you know, research and writing about him. I was curious, do you think there's any connection there?
No, I think he's too young to be connected with Whitey. No, I don't think there's,
yeah.
I don't think, nah. Whitey left more than 30 years ago now and went on the lam. Or about 30 years ago, just about 30 years ago. And he was kind of like pulling back a little bit because the grand jury was all over him. So I don't think he had too much contact with younger people and in the final years. So, no, I don't think so. You know, Whitey gets blamed for a lot of stuff. You know, like he's been tied to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, and he would have nothing to do with something like that because, let's be honest, it would take too much work to have planned something like that. And so, no, I don't think so. It's an interesting theory, but I don't think that's plausible. Thanks for the call, Erica. 844-500-4242-302. Diverse viewpoints puke. They're so full of it. Maybe she'll still get paid her contract and nobody will watch their not diverse coverage and they'll keep going broke. The thing is, though, like I said, they're not going to go broke as long as they get the money coming in from cable subscribers. Everybody's got to cut their cable to get this thing done. And, you know, when he apologizes to the staff and it says we're going to continue to try to have people that reflect diverse viewpoints. It's obvious you're not going to, you don't care about diversity of viewpoints if you fired her. And again, she was Mitt Romney's niece. That's all you need to know. She didn't get along with Trump. Trump fired her as soon as Trump got the nomination in hand. He got rid of her. He got rid of dozens of all of her loyalists. I mean, she wasn't doing that great of a job to begin with. We've gone over that. She lost the presidency. She lost 8 governorships, 4 Senate seats, 20 House seats. You know, not all of that is her or is her responsibility, or you can't blame her for everything, but she didn't turn it around. So, I mean, if they wanted to have a Republican on there, I would think she would be a real Republican. I think that she'd be the nearest thing they could take to a real Republican. You think they're going to have a legitimate Republican on MSNBC? 844-500-4242. NBC said they've dropped her as a paid contributor. Sounds like they're not going to pay her. No, they didn't say pay. They didn't say they've dropped her as a paid contributor. I'll read you the exact quote again. I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. That doesn't mean they're not going to pay her. And to have made this big announcement and to have put her on Meet the Press, which is still supposedly their premier outlet, even though nobody watches it anymore, they had her under contract. I'm positive of that. So they're gonna pay her off. They may have even given her in addition to her regular contracted pay, they may have given her some kind of severance package. I would not be surprised if she got one of those NDAs, non-disclosure agreements that Trump is now facing these so-called criminal charges on, filed by Fat Alvin Bragg in the Manhattan District Attorney in New York. 844-500-4242. 339, isn't Ronna McDaniels as a conservative Republican considered an equity hire? Yeah. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. If they really believe what they say they believe, then she checks all three of those boxes: diversity, equity, and inclusion. 617, how can anyone be surprised? This is the same garbage that's happening on college campuses. The inmates are running the asylum. It's an amazing thing. These people are making fantastic salaries for minuscule audiences, and yet they're spitting in the face of their bosses, and nobody's going to call them out on it. You know, but everything is upside down here. I'm just looking at this decision by Judge Canone in the Karen Reed murder case, and about how she's nonplussed by the fact that that Proctor did not tell the truth to the grand jury. She admits he didn't tell the truth to the state grand jury, and that he admitted as such to a federal grand jury. Even assuming Trooper Proctor had a personal relationship with these witnesses, disclosure to the grand jury was not necessarily required. Think about that. You know, that's the first thing. If you have a witness that you're putting forward in front of the jury, a prosecution witness, say, and the prosecution witness has a few, shall we say, problems in his past, that's the first thing that the prosecutor will get into the record so that the defense can't use it against them. You know, like take Johnny Matarano. You know, when he testified, the first thing they would ask him about is all the murders that he committed, so that the defense couldn't come back and say, have you been convicted of this or that, or did you do this or that? Because that undermines the credibility of the witness if the prosecution doesn't present it first. And yet she's saying, again, let me read it to you again. And again, Proctor didn't tell the state grand jury, apparently, according to the federal grand jury, which has not been disputed by the Norfolk County District Attorney who's prosecuting the case. He did not tell them that he had a personal relationship with these people that are whose house that John O'Keefe died in front of. And the defense says that he was assaulted inside the house. He did not tell him that he had a close personal relationship, that he used one of the women that lived in the house as his babysitter for his infant daughter. He did not tell him that the woman who lived in the house texted him after the investigation began and said, I want to give you a gift for what you've done for us. And he said, it's better if you give it to my wife, Elizabeth. So it appears that it could be interpreted that he was soliciting a bribe. And they have the text messages. And the text messages have been read into the record in open court, and the defense and the prosecution has not disputed any of this evidence. And yet she's saying disclosure to the grand jury was not necessarily required. And she said that the judge said there are several examples of Trooper Proctor's unprofessional and questionable conduct. But he's going to be the lead witness. Sir, have you Miss Trooper, have you testified before a federal grand jury? Yes, I have. Trooper, did you admit to the federal grand jury that you had misled a state grand jury? And I would remind you that I have the evidence from the Justice Department of the FBI in front of me here, so answer carefully. Choose your words carefully, Trooper. They wouldn't say that. That's going a little too far. But they... It is going to be very entertaining if they put this guy on the stand. I'm going to call up the, maybe not this week, but maybe next week I'll call up the State Retirement Board and see if Proctor has put in his papers yet. I don't think Proctor or the guys he works with in the Norfolk County DA's office, the detective unit, I don't think any of them are going to be on the job by the end of the year. I think they're all going to, quote unquote, retire. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show. The Howie Carr Show is back.
617 says, I know it's off topic right now and you're almost done, but can you please explain to me why Biden immediately said the federal government will pay for the bridge? Because that's what he does. He just thinks he can write a check for everything. And it, no one really ever pays for anything. And it doesn't add to inflation. And nobody ever has to take responsibility for anything they do.
You said the federal government's also going to pay for the repairs. I'm just curious. This was a ship that appears to be at fault. Is there any reason to believe that the company behind the ship should be held responsible? And then also, you mentioned...
That could be, but we're not going to wait for that to happen. We're going to pay for it to get the bridge rebuilt and open.
We're not going to wait for that? I mean, isn't the company going to go into court and say, well, they've already paid for the bill. They've already paid for the bridge. So obviously it's not our fault, or they would have litigated this thing. So this is a moot point forcing us to pay for the bridge. By paying for the bridge, hasn't the government already acknowledged that it's somehow responsible? I mean, it's just a responsible organization doesn't do something like this, or you say we'll advance the money, but we will keep our options open. He just goes out and says, "Oh, we'll pay for everything." It's like the illegal alien. We'll pay for everything. We'll sell Israel the weapons to fight Hamas, but we'll give Hamas all the food supplies they need to continue fighting the Israelis. We'll give Ukraine the weapons they need to fight the Russians, and in the meantime, we'll shut down all our domestic energy production so the Russians will have plenty of money. I mean, none of this stuff makes any sense, does it? 844-500-4242. Nick, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Nick.
Howie, 3 years ago, they completed a project to put 5 needle-shaped towers. They're power lines, because normally the power lines are underneath the bank, underneath the river, okay? Well, that boat, if you look at the abutment, and those towers are on the side of the abutment where the boat struck it, okay? He had to thread the needle. They're literally needles, by the way, when you look at them. He had to thread the pilot, whatever, had to thread the needle, not hitting one on the right, not hitting one on the left, okay? and they would, I'm sure they had some malfunctions in doing this, right? And that's why they hit it. Yeah, you're damn right we'll be paying for the bridge. But guess what? This is God talking to us, right? That damn, all that stuff on there, think about it. What if it was made over here, right? So all the monetary profit of that crap going, going back and forth on barges like that, right? That's not going to be covered for quite some time. It's probably more valuable than possibly rebuilding the bridge, right? It's somehow engineers, right? In my humble career, I work with lots of engineers, and sometimes they can't see the forest for the trees. But guess what? Nobody cares. Just build a bridge. It tears down, pay it again. And by the way, thank you, Maura Healey, on the excellent prosecution job on the Mount Holyoke Hospital. Somebody should be going to jail. They've made a deal. And if they keep the deal, they won't go to jail.
Well, right. The guy, the hack, his name is Bennett Walsh. He gave $1,950 to Charlie Parker and Karen Polito, and he got the job. His uncle was the DA in Hampden County. His mother was a Springfield City Councilor. This is how the Republicans operated. They bought off the O-line Democrats in the big cities, whether it was Boston, Lawrence, Quincy, or Springfield, and they put this guy in there, and it was a significant job, but he had no qualifications for it, and 76 people died, and he's the fall guy. He never should have gotten the job, and the worst part of it all is that Baker was asked about it when the 76 veterans died at the Holyoke home, at the soldiers' home. And he said, I never knew the guy until I swore him in at the State House. That was in 2016. That was a flat-out lie. He interviewed the guy for at least a half an hour. And he was confronted by a Globe reporter, of all people, about this. And they said, we've got the records now. You talked to this guy for 30 minutes. You lied at that press conference when you said you'd never met him. And you know what Charlie Parker said? Two words. I forgot. He forgot. Really? 844. The guy was making $122,000 a year. And
In a room.
He forgot. In a room. 844-500-4242. We will be back tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.
You're a loser.
There's a lot at stake here.